أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers normally when we have a nikah on a Jummah occasion here then I switch over to something relevant to nikah Today I have just been informed a little while ago that there is going to be a janaza salat after the Jummah prayers. The deceased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed him with this mubarak death on the day of Jummah. And according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, such people are very fortunate, those who die with iman on the day of Jummah. That inshallah there will be no questioning, no reckoning until the day of judgment. They will sleep in peace until the day of judgment. And the commentators of the Hadith Sharif have said that if the person is not going to be questioned till the day of judgment, then from the fazl of Allah and the mercy of Allah, it is expected that that person will not be questioned even on the day of judgment. I have mentioned many a times in my bayans that we can only see the outside. We can only see what the person does in front of our eyes. Or we listen to a few things about a person and we come to conclusions. But there are many, many people in the world who make so much of tawbah and istighfar which we are not aware of. The person is sick. He is committing sins. He realizes that he is sick, spiritually sick. He makes a plenty of istighfar and tawbah, tries to come out of it, but sometimes is unable to because of the pressure of the environment or anything else. Or he is engaging himself in many other kinds of good deeds and actions, any one of which suddenly became very pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the Hadith Sharif we get an incident of a woman who was a prostitute, but there was a dog which was dying of thirst, so she removed her leather socks and she drew water out from the well and gave it to this thirsty dying dog. The Nabi of the time was informed that because of this action of hers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgave her and she died with iman and she was blessed with jannat. But of course that does not make it the rule. We must not misunderstand these hadiths. These sayings of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must not be misunderstood. It does not mean that we are given the license now to commit all kinds of sins and thereafter we look for some thirsty dog and then give it some water and they say inshallah we will be jannati. It does not mean that. It's just like the governments of the time or the rulers of the time. For example, Mandela, on his birthday he released a number of prisoners. A number of convicts, a number of prisoners were released on his birthday. Now does it mean that because these people were released on his birthday, so now people must commit any kind of crime one day before the birthday of the president of the country, expecting release the next day? It doesn't mean that. So in the same way, it is our duty to do the good deeds, stay away from haram, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we do not know which deed of which person he likes, and because of that he blesses him with jannat or a mubarak death. So no matter how weak we may be, no matter how sinful we may be, no matter how useless we may be and insignificant we may be with regards to our spiritual life, But it costs us nothing to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for death in Madinah Tayyibah. On Jummah day in Madinah Tayyibah, if we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give us death, then it does not mean that all of us will die in Madinah Tayyibah. But at least that niyat and that tamanna is there, that desire is there. And why is that desire there? Because we believe that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting there. And Jannatul Baqi, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given the glad tidings for those people who are buried in Jannatul Baqi. So we ask for Madinah Tayyibah and we ask for death. Or we, in Madinah Tayyibah and burial in Jannatul Baqi, because we believe that the winds of Rahmat, when they will blow over that grave, then even if we are sinful, inshallah we hope for forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, somebody asked him that why is it that people desire to be buried next to pious people? What is the benefit? The sinful person will be punished for his sins and the pious person will be rewarded for his good deeds. Then why is the desire in the hearts of people that I must be buried to a pious, next to a pious person? So he did not answer him immediately. After a little while, this person, when he started fanning Maulana, because it was a very hot day and they used to use hand fans at that time. So when he started fanning him with that hand fan, so Maulana questioned him that, what is your intention? Who do you wish to fan? He said, you. He said, but when you are fanning me, is the breeze not reaching those on my sides? He said, yes, it is. He said, well, the breeze of Rahmat, when it is going to blow over the grave of the pious ones, then you think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to deprive the person that is next to him? So what does it cost us to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for such a death? Nevertheless, the ayat of the Quran Sharif which I recited is a very relevant ayat with regards to death. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in this ayat, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. O ye believers, do not let, or let not your riches and your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Generally, it's the riches, the wealth of a person or his children that cause this diversion from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala warns in this ayat the believers that they should not allow their riches and their children to cause this diversion. And if anyone does so, those who do so, then they are the losers. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And when Allah declares somebody a loser, then that person cannot be a gainer. That person cannot succeed. When Allah ta'ala declares that you have lost, then that is a decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the entire world cannot change that decision. In this world, if somebody is told that you lost, then again they can say you can have a re-examination of the whole issue and the person can again win. But when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that if your wealth and your riches, they cause you to divert from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then you are amongst the losers. Then that person is definitely a loser in spite of his wealth and in spite of the number of children that the person has. So the zikrullah here covers every aspect of a person's life, whether it is the fara'is, the compulsory actions, the wajibat, the sunnati muakkada, all deeds and actions that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or the Quran Sharif commands a Muslim with, all those things fall under the zikrullah, to undertake those actions and all those things that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have declared as haram and forbidden, then to restrain oneself from all that action, that all falls under zikrullah. So if a person is not fulfilling the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or he is not restraining himself from haram, then according to this verse of the Quran Sharif, that person is a loser. And generally, because it is of wealth or because of children, therefore Allah Ta'ala mentions these two things, but it's not necessary that these are the only two things. It can be sporting activities that has caused diversion from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Very recently, one young person came to me and he says, Maulana, I try my level best to make my namaz 5 times with Jamaat in the masjid. But just on that particular day, he says, I was watching the World Cup cricket match. The azan went and I heard the azan. And I said, I'm going to switch off and I'm going to go and make my namaz with Jamaat. But shaitan and nafs overpowered me and I said, 1 minute more, 1 minute more. And he says, I went through the whole cricket match and I missed my Maghrib Salat on that day. And now I'm very, very concerned and worried. I said, indeed, at least you are concerned and worried, because there are thousands of others or millions of others who are not even concerned and worried that it was this sporting activity and this World Cup which caused them to miss out on so much of Salats. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that these people are losers. First, I will just give you a quick translation of the remaining ayat and inshallah we will come back to it some other time. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. And spend of the substance, of the sustenance, of the risk, of the rosy, whatever we have provided you with. I'm just giving you the meaning. That risk and that sustenance which we have provided you with. Risk is of two kinds. Risk which helps the body of the person, what we may term as for the ajsam, for the bodies, and risk which is for the soul. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He provides all kinds of risk and sustenance. And risk and sustenance does not mean only wealth and property. Some people are blessed with intelligence. Some people are blessed with expertise in certain fields. Some people are blessed with different kinds of bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So whatever bounty Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed you with, then Allah ta'ala is ordering that now spend out of that prior to your death coming to you. Min qabli an yati ahadukum al-maut. Prior to that, that to any one of you, death should come. And then when death is going to come, then at that time, what will this person say? Min qabli an yati ahadukum al-maut. Fayaqula rabbi law la akhartani ila ajalin qareeb. Oh Allah, I wish you had given me a little more time, respite for a little more while. Now this person is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for an extension of time. Why? Because he says that if you give me this extension of time, then I will spend out of that which you have given me, and I will do righteous deeds, righteous actions, and become of the salihin. أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْ لَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So now this person is very desirous that if only I am given a little more time, then I will become of the righteous ones. I will spend out of that which you have given me. I will give up all sins of my life. And I will come to the masjid. I will go for hajj. I will care for the needy and the poor. I will fulfill the rights of my parents, my children, my wives, my society. Now he is desirous of doing everything when the time of death has arrived. Very quickly again, that same poetry on the card of Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, which is his own poetry. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. The visa of life is a very strange kind of visa. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala recalls, nobody knows. Isme tawsi bhi hai ghair mumkin, aur miyad iski nahi maloom. There is no question of extension of this visa, and the person does not even know the duration of time of this visa. And this is exactly what we are seeing with our eyes these days, that these visas are being cancelled on the spur of the moment. The person does not even know when he is leaving home that he is not going to return home. He looks at his body and he says, I'm fit, I'm healthy, I went to the gym this morning and I went jogging, and for breakfast I had so many eggs and so much of soup, and I'm such a fit and healthy person. He just goes outside and there's a hijack and the person is shot and is gone. Or some accident and the person is gone. So there is no more a question of age and time or anything like that. Where the person is going to die, when he is going to die, and where how he is going to die, nobody knows. So he says that when the time of death comes, now this person is suddenly saying, oh Allah, if you only give me extension of time, then I will spend also and I will do righteous deeds and actions and I will become of the pious and the righteous ones. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. But no person will be given respite after the person's time has arrived. That poetry is actually conveying the same meaning. That once the time has arrived, then there's no question of extension. There's no question of bribery. There's no question of holding up the angel of death and terrorizing him and say, you will not be able to take my soul because I've got a whole army and a military force. Nothing. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Wallahu khabirum bima ta'amulun, and Allah ta'ala knows everything that you do. Allah knows very well that if He gives us another 50 years, we are not going to do any better. If we could have done it, we could have done it in the lifespan that was given to us. So now we get back to the first part of that ayat again, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that don't let your riches and your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Before these ayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discussed the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi says that the hypocrites are not only those hypocrites that we know of, that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were hypocrites that at heart they had no iman, but on their tongue was Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. They used to read loudly salat and salam also on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they used to sometimes even accompany him in the battle. But after that they used to turn around and they used to try to break the morale of the Muslims, and they were always planning against the Muslims. They even built a masjid which was called Masjid al-Zarar. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to destroy that masjid because they were only sitting there and plotting against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. But outwardly they were reading the kalima. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declared such people that they will be in the bottommost part of the pit of the fire of hell. But He says that those are not the only munafiqeen. There are other categories also of those munafiqeen and those hypocrites, which we find plentiful in our society these days. He says we find plentiful of those in these days. There are many of those people, He says, who came into the fold of Islam. They came from other religions into the fold of Islam. For example, they came from Christianity, from Judaism, from Hinduism, or they were total atheists and communists, and now they came into the fold of Islam. He says, but after coming into the fold of Islam, then they did not enter into Islam completely. They did not do what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has ordered. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fis silmi kaffa. Enter into the fold of Islam completely. So He says when they came into the Islam, they came with their customary practices and traditions into Islam. And now whether it is mayyat, or whether it is marriage, or whether it is ibadat, or whether it is any other function in their life, then they practice upon those traditional practices which were in their religions of the past. Although they have entered into the fold of Islam, but now because of, for example, a person has accepted Islam, now he married into the Muslim family. But when he has prayers in his home, or when there are functions in his home, then he participates in all those functions also. Why? To maintain good family relationship. So he said, this is another sign of a munafiq, that when they came into the fold of Islam, they came with all those traditional practices and those customary practices of their forefathers' religions, and they did not eliminate them from their lives, they did not do away with them, they did not practice solely and wholly on the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. They in fact didn't even bother to find out what does Allah and His Rasul say with regards to marriage, with regards to engagement, with regards to death and funeral and burial, and what does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says with regards to isale sawab, and all those things they didn't even bother to find out. They came with all those customary practices and kept on following those things. He says that is one category of a munafiq. Then he says another category that is in abundance. Is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has warned with regards to this plenty of places in the Quran Sharif. He says that they are overpowered by their shahwat, by their passions they are overpowered. All the time they are just after the fulfillment of their passions and desires. And especially if they are living in a country where every passion can be fulfilled. In fact, there is a bribe which is given by the candidates who stand up for elections. There is a bribe which is given by the different parties. That if you vote for us, then we will legalize this, we will legalize prostitution, we will legalize homosexuality, we will legalize porn movies. All those bribes were given to the voters, and the voters then voted, and when the government came into power, so they legalized everything. So which means that now there must be no restriction on any person's passions. You must be allowed to fulfill every desire of yours. As one professor or a lecturer in one of the universities, the student came and told me, he says, a few years ago, he says that he was lecturing on psychology and some other subjects, and then he mentioned this. He says that one of the causes of depression is this, that when you have a desire, there is a passion, and when you are going to restrain the desire, so then you will be depressed. So in Islam, he says that in Islam, there are lots of restrictions. And he's a Muslim lecturer. He says in Islam, there are lots of restrictions, limitations. You must not commit adultery. You must not gamble. You must not do this, you must not do that, all the haram things. You must not drink, don't take drugs. Now all these are passions of man. He wants to have relationship with more than one woman. And that woman is not halal for him. So now he says, if she is willing and you are willing, then if you are going to restrain yourself, then it is going to create depression. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Whereas it is the total opposite as far as the Muslim is concerned. Yes, as far as the non-Muslim is concerned, this is jannat for him. There's no jannat for them in the hereafter. So Allah must give them jannat somewhere. So for them, there is no restriction, there is no boundary at all. If that person has an association with 1,000 women, he will be punished in the hereafter for it, because this is his jannat. But for the Muslim, his depression will be caused if he is going to indulge in those passions. Because this person is now connecting himself with the fire of hell and with the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and with the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and with the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when Allah is displeased, when Allah is angry, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is annoyed, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will create that depression in this person's heart. This person, in spite of that sin that he is committing, in which he seems to find a little bit of enjoyment and pleasure, but immediately after that there will be restlessness, there will be anxiety, there will be worries, and there will be all kinds of problems that it will create. So that is what a Muslim believes in. And yet this person says that no, because you are restraining yourself from the fulfillment of those passions, that is why this is being caused. So what I was getting across to you is this, that there was that category of munafiqeen in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi says that this is another category, that in the Muslim community also, if we look at our lives, that he says you will find plentiful of these type of munafiqeen, that they will indulge in their passions without any concern, as long as it satisfies their nafs and their own whim and fancy, it satisfies, then they will go ahead with it. He says this is another category of those munafiqeen. Then he says there's another category that you will find plentiful, that people will get so engrossed in their earning of their livelihood that it will cause them a complete diversion from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So engrossed they will be that they will neither see Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, nor will they see the rights of others, nor will they see what is halal and haram, nor will they see whether it is coming from stolen property or my income, or it is coming from halal sources. The person will not be concerned about anything. He will be so engrossed and he will be so overpowered by this passion and by greed that he will just go on and on until his time of death will come. Then again he will say that, oh Allah, if you only give me some time, a little bit of respite, a little bit of extension, then I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. Inshallah, we will continue with this. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala warns us that don't let this happen to you, because if you are going to do this, then you will be amongst the losers. Losers in this world, losers in the qabr, losers in the akhirat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take lesson from this ayat. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make our lives pleasing to Him before our time of death arrives. So that when we leave this world, we may leave happily, smiling, looking forward to meeting our Allah, and leave other people behind crying. And not the other way around, that when we leave crying, and other people are happy and smiling. That is good riddance of bad rubbish. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.